Hello and welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This Bible teaching ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business. It is located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And the hand car washing business exists for the sole purpose of getting God's Word in a verse by verse format out into the world and into your ears in a format that's different than the typical four walls of the modern day church that we've come to know. And the church, by and large, has stepped away from verse by verse Bible teaching. And so my name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we decided that we would open up this business, that we would use the funds to support the ministry here. We preach these teachings in the parking lot on 107.1 FM during open business hours. You can come in, and while you're in the parking lot or while you're waiting for your car to get washed, you can turn to 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop. We also have them on the radio broadcast of WMCH 1260 AM radio in the Churchill area. Those are airing on Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. And of course, you can go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business and about this ministry. And so we get back into the book of Ecclesiastes as we are going through it in a verse-by-verse style. And we're going to look into a section of Ecclesiastes where Solomon begins another contrast between prosperity and adversity. Now, if anyone was around and remembers the state of the country during the 2008 housing crash, there were people that were describing that as almost leading up to a return of the Great Depression. In fact, if things hadn't turned around the way that they did, we may have continued in that direction. But of course, as we know now, 10 years later, the economy has recovered quite a bit. But during that time, there was a lot of fear and a lot of unknown. And there was a major recession taking place. Now, I wouldn't describe it as a Great Depression of any kind, but it was a recession. I think, anecdotally speaking, the thing that makes a recession different is than a depression is that a recession is when your neighbor loses his job, while a depression is when you lose yours. And that's a cute little way of kind of making this comparison. But at that time, unemployment was reaching record levels, and of course the mortgage situation and houses and businesses were failing left and right. And to one degree or another, we were all facing a hard time ahead. And everyone's heart sinks just a little bit when we contemplate the idea of an economical collapse. Because let's face it, our lives are tied directly and indirectly into the economy. And so of the following two statements, I would ask, which one is true? Number one, prosperity may not always be a good thing. And the second statement is, adversity may not always be a bad thing. And if you ask the question, which one of these are true? Well, they both are. Prosperity may not always be good, and adversity may not always be bad. The optimist proclaims that we live in the best of times, while the pessimist fears that that statement is true. And while America was sinking like the Titanic during that time, we were, again, thinking about the unknown, thinking about what lied ahead. And in the chapters we're about to read, in chapter 6 and 7, Solomon gets us thinking about what the true definition of hard times or prosperous times really are. In fact, by the time we're done, we might even come to the conclusion that is there even a difference or a distinction or a classification between a hard time and a prosperous time? Because in both, we find there are things that we can glean to make our lives better. The 80s and the 90s could easily be described as a prosperous time, a time of wealth and prosperity. But as we entered into the millennial, the new millennia, the material prosperity that we had in the 80s and the 90s, well, look where that landed us. And then 8 years from that point, we had that housing crash, and we were entering into some of the worst times. But were they really the worst of times, or were they the best of times? Well, Solomon explores these two views in chapter 6 and in the first part of chapter 7. So I would say, however you're feeling, whatever you're going through, cheer up, because the worst is yet to come. Verse 1 of chapter 6. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction. Well, let's stop right there. These first four statements about prosperity are probably about as true as of a statement that one could make. If I gave you a bank card to a bank account that had $2 million in it, yet failed to give you the account number or the PIN number, what good would that bank card be? Well, nothing, of course. The riches of this world that you are unable to obtain or enjoy are not riches at all, are they? In fact, if I said to you, nothing is enjoyable in this world, what would you say to that statement? Nothing is enjoyable in this world. Now, your first reaction might be, well, sir, I beg to differ. I enjoy camping or hiking or going off and having parties or shopping or lunch with friends or, you know, a football game. Maybe you enjoy going on a roller coaster, an amusement park, maybe swimming or biking. Whatever it is, we all have these hobbies that we enjoy. And so the statement, nothing is enjoyable in this world, could easily be refuted by somebody's simple proclamation of a hobby or something that they enjoy. But what if I added one simple English character or a hyphen, if it were? Now it reads something like this. No thing is enjoyable in this world. Now, that's the same statement with just a hyphen between the word no and thing and the word nothing. So again, the statement, nothing is enjoyable in this world, is easily refuted. But if we read it as no thing is enjoyable in this world, well, then maybe there's something to what Solomon is trying to give us here. And in case you haven't gotten this yet so far out of this book, or maybe out of life itself, it is never the thing, but the God-given ability to enjoy that thing. Have you ever stopped to contemplate that? That it isn't the thing that is at hand or the thing that has been acquired that is enjoyable, but it is the God-given ability to be able to enjoy that particular thing. Because when it comes to life, we have times of prosperity, we have times that are good, and we have times that are bad, and times that are a trial, and times that are adverse, and times that are of struggling, times that are of sadness, and of weakness, and of pain, and of crying. Yet, can we still enjoy those things? Again, it depends on your pessimistic or optimistic view of how we interpret life. Because nothing is enjoyable in this world, or no thing is enjoyable in this world without the God-given ability to enjoy that thing. And that is why when James says to count it all joy when we enter times of persecution and suffering, you wonder how he can make such a proclamation. Because God, yes, God can even give you the ability to enjoy adversity. Isn't that amazing? And if you haven't experienced that yet, or you can't wrap your mind around a statement such as God can give you even the ability to enjoy adversity, then I submit that your submission to the Holy Spirit in your life, well, there's a lot of room for that to increase, i.e., we lack sanctification. Because as we get sanctified, and that's just a fancy word for saying growing in Christ, as we lack, if we lack that sanctification, then we are unable to experience and enjoy not just the good things of God, but even the bad things that come from God. And yes, God allows bad things to happen in our life. I have seen my son get bored with a $50 or $100 toy just days after Christmas or his birthday. And I have seen the same kid spend hours being entertained by a dollar bag of plastic army men. You see, it isn't the thing that we are enjoying, rather, it is the ability to enjoy that particular thing. I have seen kids have more fun on a pile of dirt than in, you know, an amusement park or Chuck E. Cheese or something you would think that kids can't possibly have more fun in, yet you watch a kid play on a pile of dirt. And what makes that child have such a great time on a pile of dirt? It is a God-given ability to enjoy the thing that you are currently in control of or that you are currently undergoing. Again, it is never the thing, but it is the God-given ability to enjoy that thing. No thing is enjoyable in this world without God giving us the ability to enjoy it. And you say, well, handsome radio preacher, how do I get to this point in life where I can enjoy those things? Listen, it isn't the thing that you enjoy, but it is the spirit that you apply to that thing, that spirit of adventure or discovery or imagination or appreciation. Do you think the child is appreciating the pile of dirt, or is he more appreciating the adventure and the discovery and the imagination that is taking place during that thing? Wealthy people with all of their boats and their cars and their electronic marvels, yet still unable to enjoy them. They have everything to live with, but they lack the thing to live for. Why? Why? Because God gives the enjoyment thereof. Solomon puts it in verse 2. He says, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it or to enjoy of it. It's in the enjoyment that God allows, because God gives the enjoyment. The devil wants us focused on the thing. And riches can be enjoyed for a fresh, fleshly, earthly period, but true enjoyment comes from God. No, true enjoyment is in God. And this recognition and knowledge causes us to be grateful to God for what we have, however little it might be. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Solomon earlier said this in chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, for without God, who can eat and find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Again, without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. Faith, that is, trusting God, relying on God, believing God, and obeying God, this pleases God. And to those who please God, he gives that wisdom and knowledge and happiness. And that is the true key to an enjoyment. That is the account number or the PIN number to that bank account of heavenly wealth. Well, friends, I hope this gives you some perspective and gets you back thinking about what's important in life. I'd like to invite you back out to the Wash and Word. Let us come and work on your car. This is how we earn money to support this ministry. We never ask for tithes or donations. We simply ask that you patronize the business We are hardworking Americans that just feel like this is the way America was built, and we were founded, and it was founded on hard work, and that's how we continue to go. Again, washandword.com for info. Have a blessed day.